The reading is from Mark 4, verse 1 to 20. The parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed among the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
I wonder if you've ever felt that you just don't get it. Maybe you're a child listening into your parents' conversation, and you just can't understand what they're talking about. Maybe they're using that parent code that you just can't crack. Or maybe someone tells a joke that has other people rolling around in laughter, but you just don't get what they're laughing at. You don't get it. Or maybe you've watched a film, and as you've watched the film, you keep interrupting the person you're watching it with, your friend or your spouse. "What's going on? Why is that happening? Who's that character? Where did he come from?" You can't follow along. You just don't get what's happening in the film. Well, things we don't get, things we don't understand, are often mysteries to us, aren't they? They're beyond our ability to comprehend or understand. And as we enter Mark 4, we're introduced to another mystery, the kingdom of God. So far in our journey through Mark, we've been focusing on one primary question: who is Jesus? But over the next 4 weeks, our focus, our question changes. Our question becomes, what is God's kingdom? From talking about the events in Jesus' life, Mark shows us now four parables that Jesus teaches. Parables being the use of stories or pictures to reveal something, to teach us something. And each of the four parables that we're going to come across in the next 4 weeks reveals something different about God's kingdom. Our parable this morning is no doubt fairly familiar to many of us, the parable of the sower. A farmer goes out one day to sow some seed in the land that he owns. And as the seed is scattered by the farmer, it lands in different places. You might picture the farmer kind of dipping his hand into the pouch of seed and kind of casting it out onto the land. It lands on the path. It lands on ground that is rocky. It lands on ground that has thorns already growing up in it. And it lands on ground that is described as good soil. Now this parable is not the how to sow seeds for beginners. You know, the type of thing you might read when you first try and get to grips with gardening? No, this parable is revealing something about the kingdom of God. We're going to see two things, I hope, this morning about this kingdom. Before then, we draw one implication from it at the end. But first of all, the kingdom of God will produce different responses. That's the first thing I think this parable teaches us. And Jesus, first of all, tells the parable to the crowd in verses 3 to 9. Again, it's a large crowd flocking to come and hear, come and see Jesus. So large is this crowd that he has to get in a boat. And that boat is then pushed out a little bit from shore so that he can then project his voice to this crowd. And having told this parable, Jesus then explains this parable to his disciples in verses 13 to 20. And as he explains this to his disciples, we see how the parable is all about listening and responding. The parable in verse 3 begins with a call from Jesus to listen. You see that right at the beginning of verse 3. Listen. The parable ends in verse 9 with that same invitation to listen. Jesus ends with these words, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." You see, the farmer in the parable is in the first place Jesus himself. That's who the farmer is. He has come to sow seeds on the earth, to scatter a message about God's kingdom. And specifically, Jesus is the one who brings us the message about how the kingdom is brought about by his presence on earth, and ultimately through his death and resurrection. Jesus is the one who brings God's kingdom to us. The farmer also represents all those who will come after Jesus with that same message. The apostles, the Christians in the early church, and Christians since then down through the ages who have taught and lived and shared this gospel of Jesus. As this message of God's kingdom goes out, as it is proclaimed, it will land in different soils, Jesus teaches us. It will be received in different ways. They kind of can break down like this. The first soil is kind of like the in one ear, out the other response. Some people will hear the message of Jesus and it will make no difference to them at all. One pastor describes this heart as like a stone having water poured on it. The nature of a stone is that it is hard. It cannot absorb the water. And so it is with this response when people hear Jesus' words. The message does not penetrate at all. It literally hits the stone and is cast away. It's like that seed that finds itself on the hard path in the fields. And one of the reasons why it cannot penetrate is because Satan is at work, trying to take the seed, take the message of Jesus away from that heart. He swoops in, we're told, like a bird swooping in to eat the seed before anything can happen to it. And then you have that sounds wonderful response. But I want an easy life. That's the next soil, the next response to Jesus. This second response is the response of someone who listens to Jesus and who immediately accepts it. Verse 16, others, Jesus says, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the words and at once receive it with joy. Who is Jesus and what does he offer? He sounds amazing, this response says. I'd love to be part of this kingdom. But this initial enthusiasm is squashed and removed as this heart realizes that following Jesus comes at a cost. Verse 17, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, because of this message, they quickly fall away. The offer of forgiveness and a new purpose isn't matched by a desire to follow Christ, no matter what the cost. The cost is too much for this person. The cost is too severe. I just want an easy life. I don't want hassle for following Jesus. I don't want to be persecuted. I just want to fit in with everything around me, to live a peaceful life. And the costly nature of following Jesus also spills out into the third soil, the third response we see. This response sounds like this. Jesus sounds great, but I want to enjoy this life. The seed that lands in thorny ground has to compete with the thorns growing up alongside it. Now, good gardeners, I'm sure there are a few of you out there, know that thorns must be removed from a soil in order for plants to grow well. Plants that have to compete with weeds or thorns as they grow will eventually become overpowered. So it is when we try and fit Jesus into our lives alongside other things. That's what Jesus is saying in this third response. Following Jesus has to have a radical reorientation of our lives. Jesus himself says these words, love the Lord your God, not with part of your life. No, Jesus says this, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy the gifts that God gives us in this world. But it does mean that we see those things for what they are. We see those things as things from God to enjoy. But they don't become things that we live for, that we ultimately find pleasure in. You cannot have your feet in both camps, Jesus is saying about this soil, this response, this heart. That's what this heart longs to do, though. It longs to try and find a balance between the two. I can follow Jesus a little bit, but I can still have everything else in this world. I can still find pleasure in those things. In wealth, Jesus specifically mentions. Jesus sounds great, but I don't want him to stop in me enjoying my life. And so the thorns of this life grow up and they smother any belief in God. We like the sound of Jesus, but not enough to give up on the pleasures of this world. But then you have the final soil, kind of encapsulated in this response. Wow, I believe. I repent. I want to grow and I want to share Christ. That's kind of represents what this final soil is. The good soil, this final soil, is someone who sees Jesus. They see how sinful they are and how undeserving they are to face this God of the universe that we thought of at the beginning of this service. They see Jesus' offer of forgiveness and they run to him like a child returning home from a camp they've been on. And they see their parents there ready to collect them. And they run fast as they can and they give them a massive cuddle. And as this soil, as this heart lives a life of obedience, so it bears fruit. That's what fruit is. It's that personal growth as they walk faithfully in Christ. And that fruit of desire to share this truth, this gospel, this news about Jesus that they've accepted for themselves with others, so that others can come and believe. As you look at those four different responses, look at those four soils or those four hearts, I wonder which one best represents us, best represents you this morning. As you've listened in this morning, your heart will be one of those soils. Will the words of Jesus make no difference to your life? Maybe you've been listening for a few weeks and you've seen a little bit more about who Jesus is, but it's still not made much difference. Or will the words of Jesus sound appealing, but you're worried about the implications of following Jesus? Maybe you're worried about facing a hard time for following Jesus, living a different life. Or maybe you're worried about what you're going to have to give up in this world in order to follow Jesus, to make him the center. Or will Jesus allow you to understand who he is as his spirit works in your heart this morning? You see, that's the second thing we acknowledge as we read this parable. The kingdom of God is a mystery that only God can reveal. The way this passage is structured shows us the central point that Jesus is making. Jesus tells the parable to the crowd first, and then he explains it to his disciples. And then in the middle, in verses 10 to 12, you have this kind of description of what's going on, this clarification that Jesus makes. Jesus speaks to his disciples and says this: the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. You see that word secret. Another way of expressing that word is mystery. God's kingdom is a mystery. And it's not a mystery you can solve by just concentrating harder. There are some mysteries we can solve like that, aren't there? That crossword or that puzzle that we just get stuck with, but then when we come back to it later, it suddenly becomes clear. All those magic eye pictures, have you seen those? If you stare at them hard enough, your eyes then begin to get past the pattern and suddenly you see what's underneath that pattern. Might be a picture of a person, or a picture of a landscape, or a picture of a word. That's not how the mystery of God's kingdom works. Seeing God's kingdom, understanding Jesus and who he is, requires God to reveal it to us. That's what Jesus is saying. God has ultimately done that for us in sending the Lord Jesus. In Jesus, the mystery of salvation is revealed. And Jesus talks to his disciples and says, this secret of the kingdom has been given to you. We can't know Jesus. We can't see his kingdom without the Holy Spirit opening our eyes. It is the Spirit who gives us the eyes to see. He opens up our hearts to see God's kingdom, to see what Jesus is talking about. He is the one who gives us the ability to kind of, if you like, solve that magic puzzle. It's the work that the Bible points us towards. One passage from Scripture in the New Testament says this: no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but instead considers them foolish. Did you see that? You see what that verse is saying? You can only see if the Spirit allows you to see. It's a mystery otherwise. the prayer that I pray every week before I stand up here is pretty much that prayer. I pray that as I speak words from the Bible, Jesus' words, that I'll do so faithfully. And I pray that as I do so faithfully, that the Spirit would be at work in our hearts to hear and to receive and to see. I trust that's your prayer this morning as you listen in. I trust that before you tune into the service, you're praying, please, Holy Spirit, help me to understand. Help me to see. I need you, Holy Spirit, to shine in my heart to see this mystery. It's something that Glenn Scrivener commented on this week at our online event on Wednesday evening. In response to a question that was posed to him, he suggested this, that we need to open our Bibles and ask God through his Spirit to show us Jesus. That's exactly what that passage from Scripture is saying, isn't it? Exactly what Jesus is saying in this parable. That should be our prayer every time we open our Bibles, whether we've been a Christian for decades or whether we're not yet a Christian at all. What makes the good soil is the work of God through his Spirit, preparing our hearts to accept the words of Jesus. It's something that Paul prays continually for the churches he goes round and supports as we read through the New Testament. He writes this to the church in Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you'll be able to see, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The kingdom of God will produce different responses. The kingdom of God is a mystery only God can reveal. Well, how does that help us as Christians? What does that mean for us as church? Well, I think thirdly, this is what the kingdom of God means for us. The kingdom of God is something we persevere in sharing. That's what this parable shows us. We're going to see more and more of that over the next few weeks as we go through these parables which reveal things about God's kingdom. So we'll come back to some of the things I'm going to mention now. But as we look at this parable, I think we can take these encouragements. Keep sowing. If you're a Christian, then we are tasked to continue to share the message of Jesus. This parable, as we look at it, might cause us to feel, well, what's the point? Look at the odds. I've seen the disappointment of people seemingly respond to Jesus, but they've wandered away, just like some of these soils. I've invited people along to events or to church, and they've just rejected my invitations, like that seed that lands on the path. Maybe friends or family have attended different events, carol services, but what if? But it's made no difference. Well, I think that this parable encourages us to keep going, to keep sowing, not to give up. Even though the workers are few, Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of Matthew, there is a harvest to gather in. And in God's goodness, in God's wisdom, we are sent into the harvest fields. So keep sowing. And also keep praying. You see, as we share Jesus, we recognize that from this parable, we're dependent upon him to make the difference in people's lives. My words alone cannot convince anyone to become a Christian. We need to persevere in prayer for people, that God, through his Spirit, would cause people to see, to understand, to grasp, so that they can then respond. That's what we need to be praying. Some of you may have been praying for friends or sons and daughters or spouses for years. This parable teaches us, keep praying, keep sowing, but keep praying for God to be at work. Keep praying for those opportunities to share Jesus with others. But also, finally, keep trusting. 1 Corinthians 3 reminds us that we are to trust in God's willingness and power to work in people's lives. Speaking to the church there in Corinth, Paul says this, I planted the seeds, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. They have a role, but only God, only he is the one who works and makes things grow. Do you see the confidence Paul has in God's power to change? Well, as we look at this parable, we should draw that same confidence. God is able to work. God is able to turn hearts that automatically are hardened against him. And he's able to turn them, soften them, so that they can then see the mystery of God's kingdom. Keep sowing, keep praying, and keep trusting. But let's close our time together by reminding ourselves of what should be our desire as we go into this next week. Words from Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that we may know him better. We pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us. Amen.